Let's pray, and then we're going to get started in this. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We praise you. We bow before you today. We realize who you are, and we love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us and gave us your very best gift when you gave us your son, Jesus. And Lord, we know without Jesus, we wouldn't have prayer. Thank you for sending him to earth. Jesus, thank you for being obedient even to the death on the cross. We thank you that you are the resurrection and life, and those that believe in you, Lord, though we were dead, yet shall we live. We thank you, Jesus, that even right now, you are preparing a place for us because you love us so much. Oh God, we're in the middle of so many things that you do, and it's all good. Father, by the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit today, I pray that you will open up the eyes of our understanding so that we may see clearly what should be first in our lives. And Lord, for everything that's done, for every blessing that you give us, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and glory and praise. Lord, don't let this group see me today, but Lord, I pray that this group will see you through me. Because Lord, I'm nothing and you're everything. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I find in what I try to do, I try to be honest with my congregation. I get there and I tell them just straight out. I don't try to put a smoke fog up or anything like that. And I try to be honest with them with everything. You know, I tell them, I get in there and I get in that pulpit. And then the Holy Spirit starts speaking. And I've asked him, just start speaking and just preach through me. Because you know, you can spend hours upon hours upon hours preparing. You know, but the important thing is, everybody, when you deliver a message, the people in the church need a now message from a now God.
Right.
And see, we were born for such a time as this. And the Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice. We're in a world that is full of confusion now. Oh, we're just upside down. Here in the United States of America and around the world, you know? But we've got the answer.
Amen.
To every question.
Right.
We've got the answer to every problem. We are, like Nancy said, and boy, she kind of stepped on my toes last night. We're the light of the world. And if we don't go out and shine our light, nobody else will. We're the only Jesus that people that we come in contact with see. And you know, I'm bad about it too. I say, well, my goodness, they've been doing this all their life. You know, it's Satan what it is. Satan gets there and he speaks too. The only difference is God speaks in line with his word. And Satan, you could tell it's not Satan when he speaks perpendicular to the word of God. And usually when Satan's speaking, word says he's accused of the brethren. Truth is not in him. You know, normally people that you see that have trouble telling the truth, they don't have the Lord in them. Their father is the father of lies, Satan himself.
Right.
And that way you can judge by the fruit that's in people, who they are. It doesn't take you long to sit around and listen to a conversation. And you see what and who is in first place in their lives. We spend so much time putting other things first, even Christians, than we put God first. Because the thing about it is this. We are triune beings. We're spirit, body, soul. Okay? One of those, the body, is so unimportant in eternity terms because we're going to get new bodies. The bodies we got cannot go into heaven. When somebody dies, they're in the Lord. I feel, according to Scripture, that their spirit and the soul goes on to heaven. And you recognize them in heaven. I've had people that have gone on and died and gone to heaven and got revived and came back. They recognize their family. They recognized other people. One of them even recognized my dad up there. You know? And it's wonderful. And, you know, Nancy's been to heaven. And I've never heard anybody yet who's written a book or got a movie together that said that heaven was ugly or that heaven was bad. I've never heard anybody say that heaven was strifeful. You've never experienced the peace on this earth that there is in heaven. You've never experienced, and I don't care how good a praise team you've got or how good you worship, you've never experienced music like there is in heaven. You've never been able to attain the joy, the level of joy that there is in heaven. It's beyond words, beyond human words. But here's the thing about it. When I look around, I don't see spirits and souls. When you look at me, you don't see the spirit or the soul. You see the flesh. And our flesh is all the time demanding attention. Satan uses the flesh to keep our mind off of the spirit. Now you get to thinking about it. All right, flesh versus spirit. Flesh goes back to the grave. Doesn't go to heaven. You know, new bodies. We get new bodies that will be made that can stand the glory of God. Okay? But your spirit, man, lives forever. But the thing about it, we spend more time putting the flesh first and the spirit second. You know, we don't miss, and you can look at me. You can look at me. I don't miss many meals. I'm going to get that food when the time comes to eat. But you know what? The spirit man is starving to death at times because we push the spirit aside to satisfy the flesh. And Satan knows that he can take away your spirit time by increasing your flesh time. What are some things in the flesh that can be our number one? Everybody's got a number one. We've either got a number one person in our life, or we've got a number one thing in our life. And by being number one, how can I tell if something is number one? I can tell if something is number one in my life if I've always got time to be with that person or to do that activity. That's what you can tell about, you know, we've all got 24/7, you know. And here's the thing about it. Human beings are going to do what they like to do. They're going to make time in their schedule for the things that are number one in their lives. What are some things that you can think of that people put as number one priority? Sports. I've got an uncle. You couldn't go to his house without him having some sports program on. Now, he'd go to church on Sunday, but the rest of his week, he's searching for sports, and his grandson's there watching, trying to watch those sports, and he grew up seeing his grandfather watching sports. So when his grandfather died, here he is now, is sports, 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 sports. He got into alcoholism, and he's in the program for Alcoholics Anonymous now. But there's a church where I was associate pastor that has took him under their wings, and they are ministering to him. But you know, there are some areas that take a huge amount of time in ministry, like alcohol addiction, any kind of drug addiction, because it's not like you can just snap your finger and they're delivered. What's another area that people put first in their lives?
Hunting and fishing.
Work. Sir?
I said, now he's going to meddle in these. I appreciate
you. You like to hunt and fish, don't you? Retired pastor. You know, people can put family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They can be soulish in their relationship with their family. You know, some people say, oh, my goodness, I don't love anybody like my mama. You know, it's easy to love mama, especially if mama's done loved you and took care of you and watched out for you. It's easy to love her, but she doesn't need to be first. Dad, other relatives, children. Oh, there's so many things. Grandchildren now for me, you know. It's so easy to put other things. What did you say, number one?
Work.
I went for years and years. See, I'm bivocational. Pretty well have to be bivocational in churches that have 25 to 35 people coming. Because you're not going to make it on what the church is able to pay you, you know? So, and I know that puts you in another mission field too, but it takes up your time and all like that. And at one time, my dad was hard to be satisfied with what I did, even though I led music and preached and did all sorts of things. Had a strong anointing at funerals when I would sing, but it took a lot to satisfy my dad. He wasn't one to hand out compliments. Y'all's may have been. I don't know. But trying to please somebody with those soulish ties, I thought, I'm going to work. I'm going to work hard. And I'm going to make a lot of money because my dad and my mom were poor. My mom and my dad, they'd put some money aside. I came along in 1954. I'm a 54 edition. When I came along, they put $12,000 aside because they didn't have any health insurance. And they had $12,000 aside to go toward a house. Now, you think that's not a lot to go to houses, but for about $12,000, you could build a 2,000-square-foot house in 1954. Okay? So they had their money set aside for the house, Tim. And then I came along. And there I am at a hospital, of course, with my mom in Augusta, Georgia. And God so graciously wakes up my grandmother during the night. I praise God for when he will wake up somebody else on my behalf because my life is in danger. It's happened more than one time. But the Lord spoke to my grandmother. And he said, unless you stand in the gap in prayer tonight, both your daughter-in-law and her child are going to die tonight. You're talking about an urgent request from God. I thank God for those people who have dreams in the night. I thank God for those people who are instant, in season and out of season. Because God still speaks to us. You know, we enjoy reading about God speaking to those that he spoke to here in this word. But he's still speaking now and speaking more than he ever has, ever before. Question is, are we listening? You know, there's radio wavelengths that are going out. And you can turn to a channel and you get on that wavelength like on the radio. I used to listen. We was talking about sports. There was a team that I liked back in 1968 in St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis Cardinals. Had Bob Gibson pitching on that, and that may be before y'all's time, but Bob Gibson pitching. They won the World Series. They beat the Boston Red Sox that year. I'd get in there, and my mom and dad, for Christmas, I had gotten a little transistor radio. And I'd go in there and put it under my pillow and cut it on and listen to KMOX from St. Louis to follow their baseball season. And the signal would come and go because it had to go all the way to Lincoln, Georgia. It would come and go. Listen, our communication with God is the same way. That signal was going out all the time. But I had to get tuned in to hear what was being said. Amen. Let me tell you, men and women, God is speaking at all times. But you and I have got to be still. We've got to slow down with what we're doing. And we've got to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, His children. Because here's the thing about it. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are continually upon the wicked. He's looking at everything the wicked's doing. Nah, it says the eyes of the Lord are continually on the righteous. God's looking at us to see what we're doing, because what we're doing is important to Him. His eyes, and He's speaking for us to hear. So it's a lot of things we can put first, isn't it? A lot of things. And the thing about it is this: as much as I desire to put the kingdom of God first, I do a lot of repenting of slipping and not putting the kingdom first. I don't care how hard you try. Satan's throwing up roadblocks. And I may go periods of weeks when I've got critical situations in the flesh. I want to get those critical situations taken care of before I can. Of course, I'm praying, Lord, intervene, Lord. You know? But the thing about it is this. You take your eyes off of what's important. We all do. I want to read a verse for you here. Ultimately seeking that which is first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." He says, we should seek the kingdom first. Our prioritization should be kingdom first. And then everything else will fall in line. Matthew 6:9-13. It says, and that's the Lord's Prayer. You know, disciples ask the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, I want you to pray according to this like matter. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, here's the thing about it. You know what helps God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? It's time that we spend time in the kingdom, in the presence of God, and we get the light of the kingdom, because the light of the kingdom doesn't just come from inside of us, something we manufacture. The light of the kingdom comes from spending time with the King. And then we can bring forth the light that will make the difference in other people's lives. We can't manufacture that source. You know, I was looking back, I was looking last night at the moon. You know, and the moon is beautiful. God gave us a light by day, the sun, and a light by night, the moon. But the thing about it, the moon is so dependent upon the sun. We'd never see the moon if it wasn't for the sun. The moon is a reflection of the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a reflection of the sun. The Son of God. We are a reflection. And believe me, everybody's looking at you if they know that you are a child of the Lord. They're looking at you to see how you react to hard times. They're looking at you to see what you do in situations that are tough and difficult. They come to you. They talk about you until it's something that really affects their lives, where they really need a man or woman of God to pray and touch God's heart. And that's when they come to you, because they know God answers your prayers. You get a lot of ridicule, but when the rubber meets the road, when the tough times come, you're the one that they're going to seek. Give us this day our daily bread. God supply daily bread, daily. You know, a lot of times we get concerned about tomorrow. Christians have a problem. Three different problems. Regrets for yesterday. Satan keep reminding them what's under the blood. Then got covered by the blood, but Satan reminds them. You know, and they just get there and they say, well, I'm a failure. I can't. God, I'm a failure to God. Even though they've confessed it and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Then getting so concerned about the future that they don't enjoy the now. God is the God of the now. And you don't want to lose out on the experiences of the now. Give us this day the daily bread that we need. We don't need to be spending this day worrying about if God's going to supply for us tomorrow. Because you know, there's one thing about tomorrow. It never gets here. Tomorrow never gets here. You know, it's always today. Always yesterday. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, kingdom, glory, forever and ever. Amen. And that's again King James. I like the way you got him to look up King James out there. King James is my preference. You know, that's my preference. That's what I've memorized, and that's what I've been used to as a child. You know, I don't want to go and get a new King James version in here, in my heart. You know, here's what happens with preachers. Preachers study, and within preachers' hearts is a library. And as they study the Word of God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That library is in that heart. So we study the Word of God, we hide the Word in our heart, and then as we have need of the Word, God goes in there and takes that volume out and tells us what to say. You know, I find out most all the time, I think I know what I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. And I'll get up there and God will really mess me up. He takes me down a different path altogether. I preached this godly lady's funeral a few months ago. And it was a graveside service. And it was hot. I mean, it was hot. I was sweating like I don't know what. I'm a free sweater anyway. And I got there, and God for 2 days had done visited me about that lady. And he had done shared things about her personality that I was going to bring out in the funeral and all like that. And man, I was ready. If I was ever ready for a funeral, I was ready for a funeral. And I stand up there. And then God, last minute, gives me a fact about her. And then the Holy Spirit carries the whole funeral a different way. That's the kind of meetings that you have when people come back and say, wow, did you feel the Spirit of the Lord in that place? And it was just like her. It described her like no earthly words could describe her. And people were moved. If we leave ourselves open for the Spirit to do the speaking, people will be blessed. I can get up there on Sunday morning, and I can have my own sermon, and I can say my own words, and I'll have a crowd that's disappointed when they go out the door. My people want to hear what God's saying, and what he's saying right now. I tell you what, if they were still writing in the Bible, they would be writing about people like you and I. in what we're doing in ministry for the Lord. They would do it. We think these people great, Paul, Peter, but they're no greater than you and I. No greater. No greater. It's not that we're great. It's that we serve a great God. Oh. But see, this ties into it here. Three times in there, it's talking about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the other three times, it's talking about provision being made in God's children's lives. You better believe God wants to make provision for you. And the thing about it, the world and the devil have got God so twisted up, our concepts of him, the lost world's concepts of him. They're so twisted up, they're thinking, God's just waiting on me to get out of line so he can zap me. But you know what? For Christians, God's just waiting to pour a blessing and an extra blessing on you. God's just wanting to prosper and keep you in health. That's God's desire. God's a good God, not a bad God. God is a God of love, not a God of hate. I am so glad that we've got a God that's a God of love, that cares. He cares so much about us. And he wants to pour blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon us. Things that are first. First is the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, righteousness. There's a scripture that I really like that really explains righteousness. You can be in here right now and you say, I'm not righteous. As hard as I try, I can't be righteous. And when I think I'm righteous or I feel righteous, something's going to come along and make me feel unrighteous. Well, this is a scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love this scripture. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If anybody ever asked you, are you righteous? You say, yes. I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. Because God looks at that black sin, but he's looking through the red blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees me as being righteous and white and clean. Satan is always battling that. But if you get to a point where you know that you're righteous in him, you can win so many battles over the enemy. But remember, the enemy is a liar and a thief, like I said earlier, and the truth isn't in him. See, the enemy, it says, well, I'll get there in just a second. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger and thirst after it? God's not going to disappoint you. You're going to be filled. According to Matthew 5:6. Peace. Kingdom of God, righteousness, and peace. John 14:27 says, my peace I give unto you. Now, I tell you what, if you don't have peace in your life, it's time that you ask the Lord. You say, Lord, this is something that you promised me, is peace. It's you know, the Word of God's got over 3,000 promises in it. And if we will but work the Word, we can see the Word work. We go in there where God has promised something, and it's something that has to do with the problem in which we're facing. And God cannot lie, and you stand on the word on that, and you watch God perform miracles. We got a miracle working God. He may have parted the sea several times and all like that, but he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond whatever we think or ask. He's able. I wanted to turn my Bible a couple of places here because I ran out of room here. Philippians 4:6. Okay, just a second to go there. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, you heard me mention earlier, the kingdom of God, the peace of God. Peace of God in heaven is abundant. We'll never reach it to that volume of peace in our lives here on this side. But he can give us and will give us peace. The third thing there. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Scriptures on joy, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. You know, we're people who are happy or sad by situation. A situation could make us happy and we could have a happy day. Or something bad could happen and make it a bad day. But you know, the joy of the Lord doesn't depend on any situations that happen here on this earth. We've got reason to be joyful because the price has done been paid. We've been bought. Our salvation has been bought. And it's been paid for in full. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be better than a MasterCard or a Visa. Because most people pay for stuff with plastic now, you know. I know I do. Don't want to carry a whole lot of cash around. I know some people, some older gentlemen who used to carry cash on their hip. And after they got beat up and robbed, they never did it anymore. You know, you pull out your wallet and start counting money in a group of people that you don't know, you're just inviting them to take your money. But Jesus is better than a MasterCard or a Visa or American Express. Because when we get to heaven, just think about this. All the luxuries of heaven, all the benefits of heaven have already been paid for in full by Jesus Christ. Amen. He's bought every good thing that we have that's of eternal value in our lives and paid for. You know, I hate to get, you know, Sabre asked about what I was strong in. I said, counting. I'm an accountant. I was an accountant in my career. So you do a lot of counting. Counting of brick if it's a brick company. Counting of students if it's a school system. Counting of all that. And that's what I have my degree in. And that's why I said counting. You know, my wife said, well, they won't understand that. I said, probably not, but that's what. You know, that's a strength there. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. In Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and it mentions two of them there, joy and peace. In our bodies, we have the five senses. We have sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. I think that's what those five are. You remember what Thomas said in John 20:25? John 20:25. He wanted to put his hand in Jesus' side. Let's see, John 20. See, John, he says, I'm not going to believe unless I can actually handle those wounds in Jesus' body. And Jesus said, That was Thomas, Doubting Thomas. I know my name is Thomas. It's not from the doubting part, okay? My dad's name is Thomas. Okay, but this was Thomas. And Jesus says, blessed are those who don't see, yet believe. Blessed are those who come along after you and don't see and believe. See, I've not handled his side, his pierced side, or his hand, his wounded hands. I've not handled any of those, you know? You haven't handled them, but yet you believe. But Thomas, I believe he was from Missouri, the show me state, where you've got to be shown and proven to, you know? But just think about those, and that goes to the physical side again. Let me see it in the physical, and I'll believe it. You know, there are people that don't believe in the spiritual side right now. There's angels in this room. We're surrounded by angels right in here in this room right today. Psalm 91:11 says, and he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We've got angels around us. We're not by ourselves. We've got angels with assignments to protect us as Christians. You know, in Psalms it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We've got benefits as Christians. A lot of people like to get with a good company, and they say, why'd you go with that company to work for them? Well, they got good benefits. They've got good health insurance, affordable health insurance. And they got a good dental plan, and they've got a real good insurance program, a good 401k plan, and they contribute 50%. That's benefits. As Christians, we've got benefits because we're God's children who have been grafted into his family by Jesus and his shed blood and by his death on the cross. We've got an inheritance. You know, in the physical, you may not have a big inheritance coming. I didn't. But we've got a big inheritance coming from God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the retirement benefits of being a Christian are out of this world. Literally, out of this world. Let's look at it for spirit side, because we're body, spirit, and soul, right? Spirit side, sight. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Lord wants our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so that we may see spiritually. Spiritual eyes. Smell. 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved. We go up as sweet incense before God. And he smells that sweet incense. Hearing. John 10:27 says, and I've already mentioned this, my sheep hear my voice. Now, you may say, I've heard people say before, I don't hear God talk to me, and he don't hear me talk to him. I prayed things 20 years ago, and I haven't seen the first prayer answered yet. Well, you know, God, sometimes God's answers are yes. Sometimes they are no. And sometimes they are later. And you know, the no prayers that God has told me no in, I see the situation how it unfolds, and I thank God for telling me no. I've done that for many things that I thought I knew what was best for me. But God knows. God sees the end from the beginning. God's made the blueprint for our lives. He's made the blueprint. He's designed us. He's the master designer. He's the mechanic who knows how to come in there and fix what's broke in us, because he created us to start with. Who better to have working on our physical bodies than to have him? Another one on smell. I don't know if you've ever done this before. The Rose of Sharon. I have, when the Spirit of the Lord is there strong in a service, I smell a bouquet of roses. And there are people that smell. And you can just breathe them in. Last time Nancy was at my church on a Sunday night, I'm walking over there to say something to her. And I think, oh, that smells just like a rose garden. You know, spiritually we can smell the presence of the Lord. I think that's awesome. And I thank him that I'm able to do it. He knows I'm willing to do that. And I'm thankful that I can. I've heard of people who do, and we got a couple in our church, my wife too. But there's a sweet, sweet fragrance of roses when the Spirit of the Lord is present, oftentimes. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. In Matthew 18:19, touch. See, we're comparing those spiritual things with the physical things. Again, I say unto you that if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Touching. Touching, they're talking about touching agreement there. What's the saying? Prayer of one sends 1,000 to flight. Prayer of two sends 10,000 to flight. I like how exponentially that changes. To sum it all up, John 10:10. By seeking that which is first, we can find the life that is abundant. John 10:10, thief cometh not, but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life, and that ye may have it more abundantly. We're the only ones who stop ourselves from having the abundant life that Jesus said. Jesus never would have mentioned it if it wasn't possible. And we put his kingdom first. First place in our lives, we can walk in the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10:10. Are there any questions?
Another question, just a comment back to what you said, being still and knowing that he's God.
Yes. Silent and listen. I know this. God has taught me in prayer, speak, listen. He told me, here's what the Holy Spirit told me a few weeks ago. He said, I gave you two ears. I want you to listen twice as long as what you use your mouth. That's the only relation, that's the only thing, you know, that I can see there. Because I tell you what, when I'm in prayer, I'm ready to start listening because God starts talking. You know? And it's a whole lot more important what he's saying than what I'm saying. Now, have I audibly heard the voice of God? Never audibly. There are people who have audibly. But I hear the voice of God in my spirit. And as you practice time hearing him in your spirit, his voice becomes so recognizable that it's kind of like a pin that drops. You know, they said E.F. Hutton, you know, when he talks, people listen. When God talks, I make sure I take care of all interruptions and that I listen. I don't want to offend him in any kind of way. I want to be respectful of him. Oh, that he would talk to us. You know? Anything else? Any other points? But
you were talking about God better than Visa, MasterCard, and American Express.
Yes.
The thought that came to me was don't leave home without him.
That's right. Don't leave home without him. Yes, yeah, right. You're exactly right. Don't leave home without him. I tell you what, there was a statement that troubled me. I looked on the Facebook, and sometimes things happen and they don't register with us. But I looked at Franklin Graham's comment, and he was talking about the nation and how it's going, and then he made the statement that there are millions in hell. And that really hurt. That hurt. You know? That hurt. See, for some, they're born into a Christian home and they're shared the gospel with. And they have kind of like an incubator there where it's a perfect situation where they can receive Jesus for themselves. There are others that have a one adult family. And it looks like they are facing the odds and fighting the odds all the time. There are those that are born in Muslim countries, Hindu countries. You know, and I often wonder about them. You know, what I say is, God, thank you for letting me be born in America to Christian parents. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've given me, to give me the opportunity to receive Jesus so that I can have eternal life instead of having eternal death. Because, you know, that one scripture is a tough scripture. There's a scripture in there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was the words of Jesus. That's a tough statement. It's not popular at all, and Jesus isn't popular in this day and time. Don't mention the name Jesus. We don't want to hear the name Jesus. Well, you know why they don't want to hear the name Jesus? Because Satan is putting in their hearts that Satan don't want to hear his name, because Satan knows that when we use his names, we're more than conquerors. And there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Satan knows that. So Satan's got involved, gets involved, and he says, you can say God all you want to. But see, there's got to be a personal relationship through receiving Jesus, because Jesus is our bridge to God. Without Jesus, there's no way. We have no bridge. God sees us as sin without Jesus. But because of Jesus, we're the righteousness of God in him.